be dismissed this evening. And then everyone else in the room, you're not going to the book of Acts tonight. You're going to go to the book of Hosea tonight. Can you do that? All right, I think you'll be all right with that. Hosea, it is in the Bible, okay? And you'll find it there. And last night at the rescue mission, I gave them extra time because I actually used this passage last night, and I'll talk about it here in a moment as we dive into it. But I told them after that, I said, I'll give $100 to the first person who can find this book of the Bible. And I said, find Hezekiah 1:2. And have them start flipping all around, and there is no Hezekiah. And so some of you are thinking about that right there. And so, but Hosea chapter number 3, and in a minute we're going to go there, give you a little thought here tonight, and I don't have notes for you. You can take notes if you want as we go through. But in my own personal life right now, one of the things that I'm doing, I mentioned on Sunday, we're going to be starting that series on the goodness of God. And so I did that series on the goodness of God and went through it myself and studied through it. And just so what I decided to do each week, do you realize how much we take for granted that God does for us? Just even today, the blessings that God did in your life, half the things that he did, we don't even take time to think about. And you don't know what he, you know, what did he protect you from today that you don't even know he protected you from? What car was going to smash into the side of you that God stopped it from happening? Or what about this? In all reality, we take for granted all the things that God does for us. And it's like it's just one of those things that it just, we just take it for granted. That's why if you remember Easter, and I know that's a long time ago looking back at Easter, but at Easter I preached that message about still being amazed about the things that God does for us and his grace, his mercy, his love, and things like that. So one of the things that I've been doing in my own life is just I'm thankful for salvation, but I am trying to find everywhere in the Bible that says anything about salvation, and I'm studying it and looking at it, trying just to not let it grow old in me. And because you need to, don't let the things of God, you've been saved a long time, the Lord's been good in your life, don't take for granted what the Lord's done. Because we all do. We all have a tendency to do it. And I would encourage you to not do that in the Christian life. And so as I said, each week I'm taking a different book or passage and I'm just looking at salvation in it. Now you said, the book of Hosea. What about the book of Hosea? There is a lot in the book of Hosea. First thing I'll say before we even get into tonight is I am so glad God didn't call me to be a prophet like Hosea and do what Hosea had to do. But when we look at this, and we're going to go from chapter 3 back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you say, what all are we going to cover? You'll see over the next few minutes tonight. I want you to see and think about, from this passage in Hosea, what the Lord has done in your life and what salvation has, how it's changed you and what God's done in your life. So if you leave here tonight and you leave here appreciating Jesus a little bit more than before you came tonight, then my job's been complete tonight. And that's my goal. I was studying and getting ready to preach about Paul being before Agrippa. And what does Paul do? Every chance he gets. I saw the light on Damascus Road, and Jesus changed my life. Paul never lost the joy and the meaning of his salvation. And I would just encourage you, a lot of times, you think about the book of Revelation, it says you've left your first love. You need to remember from where you've fallen and do those first things again. And so when we go back and we look at salvation, it reminds us where the Lord's taken us and what he's done in our lives. And Hosea's a great example. Now, how many of you here tonight know a lot about the book of Hosea? Anybody know a lot about, or you know the gist of it. How many of you don't know very much about the book of Hosea? All right, you're going to learn some tonight, and it's going to be a help to you, I believe. Hosea chapter number 3. So as I mentioned, in my personal Bible study, so this was a couple weeks ago, and I made a note in it that I was going to use it at the mission at some point. I was not planning on bringing it to you here in church. I was just going to do it at the mission. But then I think it's a great passage for us to look at and to see some things that we can apply to our lives and how the Lord does these things in our lives. And so one of the things that I do, and a few of you, was it you, Ryan, that sent me a picture? You got that book in the mail, Living by the Book? And so I mentioned that book about Bible study a while back, and a few people at church have gotten it. You can get it super cheap. I would encourage anyone who wants to study God's Word and grow in your study of God's Word to get that book. That book changed my life for the better, I think. Some people might think it's for the worse, but I think it's for the better in the long run. But so what I do is when I go to a passage for myself, everyone does different things, but for myself, I start in chapter 1. I read through the book of Hosea. It took me 2 days I did it in. And then chapter 3 is when God tells Hosea to do some things. And so as I prepare a message or when I'm thinking on things, there's a few things that I do. I read the King James right here. I go, this is Old Testament, so it's in Hebrew. So I try to look up the Hebrew words and look and put it together. Now, I failed Hebrew twice. Hebrew's not my thing. Greek isn't my thing either. Some of you in this room, you're probably very smart on that stuff, and so I'm not going to be the one to sit here and tell you how to do all that stuff. But I try to make it make sense and work. And so look with me in Hosea 3, verse number 1 through 3. We're going to read those three verses. Everybody find Hosea? You got it there? All right, Hosea 3, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Now you're like, what in the world did I just read? Now what I normally do for you is, I would explain what verse 1's telling you. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be talking about Bible versions and translations. So I'm going to read for you, just put one verse up on the screen, and after I read this, you're going to take it right off, and it's going to be gone. In the ESV 3:1, look at what it says. And the Lord said unto me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. Now, in our modern language, the word yet, you wouldn't think of it meaning again. You look at that phrase there, beloved of her friends, you're not thinking of, actually in Hebrew, it literally means to be loved by another man and cheating on her husband. So one of the reasons why it's good to get some things together is so you understand what things say. So anyways, you can take that off the screen, and you can wait till we talk more about translations another time. We're not talking about that tonight. But I look at several as I prepare messages, and what I would have normally done is I would have just told you that's what it meant instead of showing it to you, but it's the same sort of thing. If we're going to understand the book of Hosea, you got to understand what's going on here. So go with me to chapter number 1. And did you know, anybody know what the name Hosea, the name of, what the meaning of his name is? Salvation, literally, is what the name Hosea means. So in chapter number 1, we go and we look at verse number 2. It says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Verse number 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto her, call her name That's a nice long name there, right? Lo Ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by the bow, nor by the sword, nor battle, by horse or horseman. Now when she had weaned that girl there, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. So three children are bared to Gomer. And quite a name. Aren't you glad, ladies, your name isn't Gomer? Whenever I think of Gomer, I think of Gomer Pyle. That's always where my mind goes. And so good old shows. Good when things were good and clean. And that's, anyways, but three children. You'll notice with the first one, it says in verse 3, and he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. You'll notice in verse 6, it says nothing about bearing Hosea a son. And it says nothing in verse number 9 about bearing Hosea another son. So verse 6 would have been the daughter. Verse 9 would have been the son. So as we look here tonight, and as I give you the background, in the days of Hosea, he was a prophet for Israel. And one of the things, Israel was a very prosperous nation. They were doing well at this time. And you know, sometimes when everything's going well and when everything's good, it's like you don't need God. Have you ever noticed that? No one in this room's like that, right? Everything's good. No, you need God all the time. There's never a time that we don't need God and need him to work in our lives. And in chapter 3, it says there that they were looking to other gods and loved flagons of wine. And so they were literally cheating on God. God was their God. He loved them, had done so much for them, and had blessed them in so many ways. And instead of serving their God, they were looking to the gods of Canaan and other gods as they served them and did these things. And so, you got to think about this. The people of Israel literally didn't have real love for God. They didn't love his word. They didn't worship him. They literally were worshiping these other gods. And what God would do when his people would mess up, God would try to get their attention. One of the things he would do, he would use a prophet. And sometimes they would listen to the prophets, and sometimes they wouldn't listen to the prophets. So, and Joe, you can put, instead of having that up there, just put the screensaver, that one. That one's good. And so sometimes they listen to the prophets, sometimes they wouldn't. But God used Hosea in this passage literally to show Israel what they were doing to him and how he loved them in spite of what they were doing. Now, as we look at the story here, we see Gomer to begin with. Do you know what the name Gomer means? Completion. Now, we'll get there in a little bit, okay? And we'll make sense of it. So the name Hosea means salvation. Gomer means completion. Now, you'll notice that as we look here, God tells Hosea in chapter 1, he says to go take a wife of whoredoms and of the children of whoredoms. That is not referring, some people would say right there that that's referring to go marry a harlot. That's not the case. Israel was cheating on God. Israel was playing the whore in the passage. So marrying a daughter of whoredoms meant marry a woman of Israel. Now, with that being said, she didn't love God. She was just like her people around them and worshiping all these other gods. And we see these things before us. And so as we look here, you'll notice that Hosea marries Gomer. They're married. They have a child. God blessed them with a child. Jezreel, the name literally means God will sow. That's what Jezreel means. And God gave that name, and we see there very simply in verse number 3, it says, and which conceived and bare him a son. But you'll notice that as time goes on, in verse 6 it says, and she conceived again and bare a daughter. But it says nothing about bearing a daughter to Hosea, because she left Hosea. Chapter number 2, you got your Bibles there, look at chapter number 2. And look at what it says in verse number 4, or verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. So Hosea marries Gomer. Gomer commits adultery, has two more children, still is there with Hosea, because it mentions that. But then at some point she leaves to go into what we would say would be prostitution there. Now, as we look at this and we see her life, we see it clearly pictures what sin is, right? When you get entwined in sin and sin messes you up, it messes up everything, doesn't it? And sometimes we think sin only affects me. No, sin has consequences. And it doesn't just affect you. Imagine how it affected these children, how it affected Hosea, all these things. And as we look and we think about this, a lifestyle of sin is very clearly, it will ruin you, it will devastate you, there's destruction, it will leave its mark on us. And we look at Gomer and we look at her life and the sin that she was in, it reminds us of where we were before Christ. Because before Christ, and we'll tie it all together at the end, but before Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were servants to sin. We were messed up in our sin. Sin was one of those things, and we look in Gomer's life, it just kept piling and getting worse. She loved another man, left her husband, and all these things happen. And we see all this before our eyes. But as we look at Gomer, we see where we were before Christ. In all reality, who created us? God did, right? And then in our sin, we left God and wanted nothing to do with God. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? In the garden, God said, I've made everything perfect. It's all yours. I love you. I'm there. And then what happens? They sin. Everything changes. God created them. And yet, we think about sin. We're in our pursuit of sin. Nothing matters but that. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And we're caught and we're in trouble. But you know what the Bible says? But God, who's rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, what, he loved us and died for us and did all those things for us. You go back to chapter 3, and Gomer's no longer, I don't know if she ran her time in the prostitution, I don't know what took place, but now she's being sold as a slave. But look what verse 1 says. Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. God told, hey, Hosea, you know your wife that left you and committed adultery on you and left? Go get her. Now, something that's interesting, I don't see Hosea say here, God, no. This woman's done all this to me. There's no way I'm going to go get her and find her. She made her choice. She digged her grave. She can do this herself. No, what we see in the passage is that what does he do? He went and found her. What does that remind me of? That in spite of how much she hurt him, in spite of how she treated her children, in spite of how she lived her life, Hosea still loved his wife. He was willing to do what God told him to do. You ever take time to think about God's love for us? Did you know no one ever told God he had to love us? He chose to love you. He chose to love me. Do you know God loved you before you were ever born? You know he loved you when you sinned? He's always loved you, and nothing's going to stop him from loving you. What does Jeremiah 31 say? I've loved thee with an everlasting love. So as I look at the story of Hosea, as I'm piecing it all together, I start seeing salvation in the way that God works all throughout the story. Gomer pictured Israel and was a picture of them in the Old Testament there and how they had turned from God. But Gomer's also a picture, because everything points to Jesus, doesn't it? Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Jesus is the star of the show from Genesis to Revelation. And he's even the star in the concordance. He really is. And some of you got that, some of you didn't. You'll think about that later on. But with all that being said, Gomer very easily pictures us, where Hosea pictures Jesus and what he did for us. Not only what God was doing for Israel, and we'll talk more about this as we go through tonight. You see, when we look at this passage, God said, hey, Hosea, go get her. Go bring her back. The one who's done all these things to you, still love her. And I want you to let Israel know this is what they've done to me. They don't love me. They want nothing to do with me, but I still love them in the midst of it. And that's what God's love is all about. That's why Paul said that nothing, he's persuaded that there, you know, neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God, because God loves you and God loves each of us, and thank God for that. And the Bible teaches us, you think about this, that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. I used it a week or two ago. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. The only greater love than that is someone who would lay down their life for their enemies. And before salvation, we were the enemies of God, and yet he loved us enough to send his son to die on a cross. And what God's trying to display to Israel through the book of Hosea is, you've left me, you've turned your back on me, but I still love you, and I want to bring you back, and I want to change your life, and I want to help you in the long run. And isn't that what God wants to do with mankind? Literally, God created us. Mankind turned their back on God and said, God, we want to be as you, and we know better than you. And God says, no, I'll buy you back. I'll redeem you. And there's so much more. I want to skip ahead myself. As we look, we see Gomer and her lifestyle. We see the sin that she was in. And we see that God says, hey, Hosea, love her and go bring her back. The second thing that we see is the fact that there was a price that had to be paid. That's what happens with sin. Sin always costs something. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin cost. Gomer, the lifestyle she lived, the choices that she made, cost her, and she was on the slave block to be sold. Think about that tonight. You notice we're told here, as you look in verse 2, that he bought her for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. So normally a slave would be 30 pieces of silver. Is there any, do you ever think of 30 pieces of silver? You can probably tie that together. Didn't someone sell out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? You say, well, Hosea didn't have that. No, so he gave barley. Barley was probably one of the cheaper things of that day, but he gave enough barley to measure up to the rest of it. So why didn't he just pay all the money? He probably didn't have all the money. Prophets, preachers, they don't have a lot of money. But anyways, as we look there and we see it here, the purchase was expensive. But you got to understand something. It cost him. Think about this. How would it be to be out there on that slave? The slaves are up there. And, you know, you say, well, how did they do it? I always picture, well, they changed it, because we got to be politically correct in our world today. But if you ever went to Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, and they had their, and they were selling off the slaves there, that's how I picture it. Maybe it's something like that, I don't know. But could you imagine, people in that town knew who Hosea was. They knew who Gomer was. She's there, and literally he's out there, and he's like, I'll buy her. Think about that for a minute. Think about, it would cost him probably his pride. All these different things. He purchased a woman who betrayed him over and over again. But he was willing to pay the price to redeem her. Does that ring a bell? God created us. Man messed up.
and the wages of sin is death. And just as God told Hosea here, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, just as he had to buy her back. Now think with me for a second. They were married. Doesn't say anything about a bill of divorce ever being done. They were married, so technically in that husband and wife relationship, she already belonged to him and he already belonged to her as husband and wife. God created us. Technically, we belong to him. But man decided to sin and leave God. God didn't leave man. Because even after Adam and Eve sinned, where was God? Right back in the garden. Right in his spot. They were the ones hiding from God. They're the ones who did it, not God. But what does God do? Like Hosea, he goes to the auction block and says, I'll pay the price. And God gave his own son to die on a cross so that you and I could be redeemed and brought back to him. Just like Hosea brought Gomer back here. We left God. We did our own thing. And the Bible tells us, if you take your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going somewhere. Keep your place in Hosea because we're going to go back there in a second. 1 Peter chapter number 1, it's only 7:09. You've gotten lucky the past couple Wednesday nights getting out at 7:13, 7:14. We're going till 8:30 tonight to make up for the past few weeks, and I'm only kidding with that. I should do it for Lori because she just shook her head. No, I should. But anyways, look at verse number 18 of 1 Peter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold. And what did Hosea do? He bought back his wife with silver. Well, look at what it says here. For as much as ye know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Literally, God gave his son. As Hosea paid the price to get his wife back, God paid the price to free us from being slaves of sin. Isn't it interesting? She was going to be sold as a slave. And we are slaves to sin, aren't we? You see the correlation, the connection between the two? That as Hosea bought her, God was telling Israel, I will do that for you. I love you enough. And though you've cheated on me, I still love you. Written to Israel there. But you look at the New Testament and you apply it to our lives, and you see the fact that God literally redeemed us and bought us back. And as it says there, back in our text in Hosea, it says, so I bought her. He did it. That's what God's done for us. In all reality, as I mentioned, Hosea, Gomer, technically already, they belong to each other. But yet, he bought her again. What does the Bible tell us in 1 Corinthians 6? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to who? God. We belong to him. When he saves us, he takes possession. Just like Hosea did with Gomer there. And what a blessing that is. Don't ever forget what the Lord's done for you. The fact that he would be willing, and you look at that story and you think about, why would Hosea, and I don't know why this reminded me of this. On Sunday night, I leaned on the pulpit for something. And wouldn't you know that YouTube, for my message on YouTube, out of all the slides that it could take from the whole service, it took me leaning on the pulpit like this, and that's the picture that's up on YouTube, me leaning like this. So I told myself Sunday night, I'm not going to do that anymore, and then I just did it right there. And so watch, it'll be the same thing tonight. We'll see that later on. I don't remember. Was that you, Nydia, that figured that one out? Yeah, Nydia figured that one out. But we would look at Hosea and be like, why would you buy her back? Why would you still love her after all that she's done? And yet that's exactly what the Lord's done for us. Why would he love us enough to redeem us
Why would he do what he did? Why would Jesus suffer and die for our sins after all that we've done to him? It's a question I can't answer, but I'm so glad that he did. Now, as we look at this and as we tie it together and close out tonight, look at what happens and what it says. Go down to verse number 3. Hosea 3, verse number 3. There are so many similarities between our salvation, what God wanted to do for Israel, and what took place in the life of Hosea and Gomer. But look at verse 3. Look at this. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot. For thou shalt not be for another man, so I will be for thee. Do you notice a few things that are mentioned here? Do you know what Hosea tells her? You're done being the harlot. What happens when you get saved? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And Hosea says, hey, Gomer, you're done with that. You're no longer going to be that harlot. I bought you back. I brought you back. And now it's time you're not going to be that same person anymore. Isn't that what happened at salvation? When you got saved, you were no longer the person you used to be. You got a new man inside of you and all of these things. And that's what Jesus does for us. We're born again, and he changes us. The day you met Jesus, your life changed forever. Mine did. I think yours probably did too, right? And when Hosea bought Gomer back, you're done with that lifestyle. What did Jesus say to the woman taken in the very act of adultery? Go, sin no more. Because when Jesus changes a life, he changes the life. And we see he tells her, you're not going to live that way anymore. But what else does he say? You look there and it says, there's a command to do, right? Look what it says there. Thou shalt abide with me for many days. Kind of reminds us that God tells us how we need to live our lives as well, doesn't he? When he saves us, he changes us, gives us his word on how to live our lives and how to change and how to live for him. And that's what we see right there. And then what else do we see? Look at the end there. So I will also be for thee. Do you know what Hosea said? I'll be right here with you. If that doesn't picture salvation, I don't know what else does. Because when you got saved, you're made a new creature. You were told how to live your life, and literally the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always there. I'm glad Hosea got to live that life to teach us this lesson here, and that I didn't have to live that life. But let's throw Hosea out of the picture and throw Gomer out of the picture. I mentioned what her name means, right? Completion. There's always a significance behind every name in the Old Testament. And you'll notice that even their children, their names, what they meant, and there's always a meaning behind it. Literally, Hosea changed Gomer's life. And she was complete. In the Christian life, you don't have Hosea. You have Jesus. And when he saves you, and when he bought you and saved you, he changes your life, sets you in a new direction, and he's right there with you every step of the way.